WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G mobbin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
I come with glad tidings.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, warm light for all mankind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Why the hell should I take orders from you?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Living legend who kind of lives up to the legend.
The Omega.
A man with breathtaking anger management issues.
Heartbreak Mike.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Do I look to be in a gaming mood?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're dealing with forces you can't control.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
The humans think us immortal.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Becky Bayless.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park? Is everything a joke to you?
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network in what turned from a very, very dull week after an average pay-per-view to, oh my God, everything is changing.
ECW.
So this turned into kind of a landmark week for professional wrestling.
Monday Nitro. Monday Nitro. They didn't have a clever chain.
No. ECW made like the chant for the Fed a thing, and then everyone has aped it since then.
Yeah. They really have.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Attitude Era. This is Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have a Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, guys? Heartbreak Mike here. Yeah, I'm in pain. Learned my lesson.
ECW.
Hey, man. Yeah, it's about to be ECW. And they've already started making a lot of stuff happen, and I cannot wait to talk about this.
And the one who has been there from the beginning. I say that since he's, probably there when pro wrestling started. The one and only Tim Stein.
Okay, that was just mean.
Well, it did start.
I was thinking of going somewhere else with it, and then, it kind of blanked, so I just went for the old standard.
Well, it did start in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I mean, home of pro wrestling.
Well, it didn't start here, but some of the best wrestling in the world that ever existed in history took place here in Calgary, Dramatic Pause, Alberta, Canada. I suppose you guys want me to talk about more shit than that, though. I'm guessing.
Preferably, I mean, a couple things happened this week. You know, you might
a lot of couple things.
All right, so we off the top. Jinder Mahal has re-signed with WWE for 5 more years,
and he's just had surgery, so
until he gets his release,
kicking off that new contract. Good.
Just because you sign a contract doesn't mean you can't get released. Don't hinder Jinder.
Not hindering Jinder. Surgeon hindered Jinder.
The surgeon, no, the injury hindered Jinder.
Good job, Brent. Anyway.
Good job, who? What?
Brent.
What happened?
Blame Brent. Their injuries. That's the gimmick.
Blame Brent.
Yeah, it's the gimmick.
Hashtag blame Brent on Twitter.
Yep,
I get it.
That's the gimmick.
Okay, that's the gimmick. There you go. Okay, let's make it official. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We may have a few Canadian regulars not listening tonight because it's the Canadian long weekend. Tomorrow is Canada Day, the Canadian Independence Day for you Americans. And, yeah, Canada comes first, which proves that we are the man in this relationship.
So circling back to gender. Circling back to gender.
I like how you just, like, totally did not, you know, 100% no sell from Rock, but thanks for the sigh, Omega.
So
boo this man. Hashtag boo this man.
So
you've been on top for too long.
Going back, since there's no show Thursday, I need to officially induct him. Jinder Mahal out with an injury for a knee injury. What was it? Patella tendon, I think it was.
Something like that.
It's officially.
Hashtag blame Brent.
There you go.
Now it's official.
Yeah, now it's
official. Officially official.
Officially official.
There you go. That's the important thing. Don't forget that. Meanwhile, in the world of professional kickboxing, somebody got kicked and somebody got boxed. I don't know.
What?
It's a very laid-back, lazy Sunday. We've got, like, a few things to talk about. You know, Mike's champing at the bit. We heard the ECW and WCW intros. Or, well, actually, it was Bischoff's theme song. Let's just, like, talk about it. This past week, Omega, you alluded to it, very average pay-per-view that didn't suck, but it wasn't through the roof. Not much of anything happening until the news drops like a bombshell. Paul Heyman named, some executive type guy for Raw, and Eric Bischoff named some executive type guy for, SmackDown.
Executive directors.
I was getting there. I was just, you know.
Trying to remember, you're trying to remember their executive directors.
Executive directors.
Their official corporate positions that have to be approved by the board.
Now, what exactly does this mean?
Well, it means that, you know, they're the top of the food chain until you get to Vince as far as creating the storylines for Raw and SmackDown.
Right.
Which is a huge change up from, you know, What I assume are rooms full of shitting monkeys.
So basically, what does that mean? Simple. If you follow wrestling at all and you've paid attention historically to ECW, WCW, the old WWF during the Attitude Era, at the very least, creative is going to go in a new direction. Is it going to get better? In my opinion, where Raw is concerned, absolutely, Omega.
Yeah, you put the guy who is responsible for SmackDown's best run of storytelling in charge of the flagship show. Now, that's a pretty fucking good move.
That's a massive move. We have said more than once, give Heyman the reins. The guy can write. He's great at telling a story. He's great at continuity. He's great at creativity. All of that stuff he's fantastic at. For the longest time, all he was just, you know, talent, enhancement talent. Mike, you've got a whole lot of stuff you've been wanting to talk about. Start with Paul Heyman.
So, considering the fact that we have Paul Heyman, a mastermind, is back into the desk of WWE, not only has he been a writer for WWE, but now that he's the executive director, now we can see more changes happen. Paul Heyman is a genius. Paul Heyman is a brilliant mind for this mind of wrestling right now. So I'm literally excited because the fact that I hate to say it, but their competition, I'm not going to say the promotion, their competition was trying to do stuff. And the next thing you know, they're like, oh, wait, they're doing this. Hold my beer. And considering that now it's go time, they're pulling all the stops.
Well, it's been go time since the ratings started plummeting, and Fox and USA are both knocking on Vince's door asking what the hell is going on and what are they going to do about it.
Knocking on it like they're a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Like it or not, complacency kicks in when you have nobody nipping at your heels. That's all there is to it. Why was wrestling so huge back in 1996, 97, 98, 99, 2002? Shit going down, basically. From 2000 to 2002, it was the hangover. And what was the shit going down? Well, you know, look at this. I got this going on. So, what are you going to do? Well, this is what we're going to do. What are you going to do? Well, watch this. No. You watch this. No. Check this out.
Yeah, when you've got competition, it breeds innovation. You have to stick above the people who are trying to take you down.
Now, one thing, let's get this straight right now. A lot of people listening today only know the Attitude Era from watching on replays on WWE Network, matches and events. Watching things go down on YouTube, reading things on the dirt sheets, the rag mags, the opinion columns.
Speaking of, 21st anniversary of the cage, the Hell in a Cell with Mick and Undertaker.
There you go. We actually have a little Undertaker talk to talk about tonight. We'll get to that in just a minute or five. But you stop, you think about it, he said, trying to regain his train of thought.
Just keeping you on your toes.
Yeah, shit. What was I talking about before you said it being interrupted?
Everyone knows the Attitude Era these days from WWE Network.
Thank you. Got it. Yeah. Here it is. The Attitude Era, at least with WWF / E, had just as much bad garbage in it as it had good stuff. But the thing is, the good stuff was really good. And it was able to outshine the bad stuff. WWE today, their good stuff can't outshine the bad writing. Even the good stuff has had some bad writing. Now, you want to know how good Paul Heyman is? Pay attention to Ronda Rousey when she was there. Heyman had an input and a hand in her promos. Not all of them. And you can tell which ones. Because the ones that he directed or had a hand in or whatever you want to call it were the ones everybody was just like, oh my God, Ronda's awesome. And the ones that the promos that he had nothing to do with, she was borderline average, coasting towards mediocre. And, you know, then that's it at the end of the day. WCW had bigger shock value going for it. Oh my God, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash signed. They're the outsiders. What the hell did you do? You turned Hogan heel and he became a member of the NWO? Oh my God. After a while, the only thing WCW had going for them was the cruiserweight division. They were signing the old guard. They were pushing the old guard. The only star they ever really made was Goldberg. Everybody else was imported.
That should tell you something.
Okay. This,
and I would, we're gonna get, I'd give him credit for Sting as well.
Well, okay, yeah, but Sting was WCCW. I mean,
yeah,
like he was.
Yeah, but he's imported the same way that, you know, a lot of guys were imported into WWF at the time. Like they came from other promotions and they were good there. It's, you know, it was that time that made them what they were.
Yeah, no, what I'm alluding to, what my point is about Sting, he was there pre-Bischoff. Okay, and we'll get to him in just a minute. We'll get to him in just a minute. You brought it up, Omega, and Mike, I want your take on this too. Some of the best SmackDown we ever saw, creative direction controlled by Paul Heyman.
You said creative direction? I'm sorry, you were talking about creative direction for Paul with Paul Heyman?
Responsible for, like, what we consider to be the best period of SmackDown's writing.
Jesus Christ, hell yeah. The Ruthless Aggression era. That was that was all Paul Heyman. But
that was the Haymaker.
It was. And it was by far, it was gold. It was the golden years. I mean, granted, you know, it wasn't the Attitude era, but it showed some life. So I was happy for that. But yes, Ruthless Aggression era was by far my favorite era growing up besides Attitude era. Thank you, Paul Heyman. You are amazing.
Yeah, apparently that's pretty well known too, because Fox wasn't happy about which guy they got.
Mm-hmm.
According to the report, that was something that was sprung on them. But they knew how good Heyman was for SmackDown, and they kind of wanted him back for SmackDown. I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of a little bit disappointed when he was announced for Raw, even though like that should be a promotion.
Yeah. SmackDown moving to Fox, you would figure that they'd give it to Heyman, but you know, here's the thing: you got Brock Lesnar chasing the title, and I hope to God they don't put it on him. But you can't really have Heyman in charge of SmackDown and then having him run over and show up on Raw, really.
Well, apparently these roles are not going to be like on camera. But
No. This is like executive director type positions. You're like the head cheese. You give the writers suggestions and then you tell them how to fix shit.
Yeah, but you know, I wouldn't see an issue if Heyman was running SmackDown and had to pop over on Raw to be an on camera personality. You know,
well, it's just
because of course Vince is, you know, Vince is a very different person on camera than he is behind the scenes. You know, we don't mix the two up.
Yeah, but just the main thing I'm looking at would be the travel for Paul.
There's something like really just there's a weird historical significance to where we are right now.
Yeah,
you know, because like okay, so the three guys who are really running the show as far as WWE goes right now is the guy who ran WCW, the guy who ran ECW, and the guy we thought back in that era would be a cancer to the business once he got in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned out to produce some of the best wrestlers we've ever had. Thank you, Triple H.
Absolutely. There you go.
We have a very strong nexus.
Well, how much, I just curious is how much of a workload is going to be reduced for Vince now because of these two?
Well, that's the thing is that even when Trip showed that he could handle it, he could run the shows, and you know there were times where Vince took days off, Triple H handled things, and everything ran smoothly. And we've seen from NXT, like he's kind of proven what he's capable of now. Vince still insists on doing everything, he insists on being at all the shows, he insists on having the final say, and that's where the problem here lies, because creative directors, you know, executive director, that's all well and good. But Vince still has the final say in everything.
Well, isn't that the reason why Heyman left SmackDown initially?
Initially, yeah.
So he must have come to some kind of an agreement with Vince.
Not necessarily. Well,
possibly.
Possibly, but at the same time, this is Vince we're talking about. He could he could agree to that one day, and then tomorrow he may not even remember that Heyman's in charge of Raw.
Mm.
You know, it's yeah. It comes
Dementia's
out and
a
we.
Bitch.
But no, it's stubbornness is what it is.
Yeah.
It's because we know Vince has vetoed a lot that would strengthen the brands. The writers have said that they wanted SmackDown and Raw to be filmed differently, and Vince said no. They wanted the sets and the designs to look different, and Vince said no. Because while he's trying to present two brands, it's so fictitious and it's so, you know, minuscule in effort that Vince can't see beyond making his product, you know, all match and look the same. You know, that's his only real concern is everything looks like WWE, even though they're supposed to be different and have different feels.
Yeah.
Which is why Raw and SmackDown feel like the exact same show with about a 22-hour delay.
Now, I think that we've established that we're going to expect Raw to be a lot better once Heyman is 100% in that desk given the reins. What about SmackDown and Bischoff running that show?
Ugh. Eric Bischoff has already put in his bid of saying, hey, so what we're going to do, He said, I do not feel that Mr. Shane McMahon should be WWE champion. I like it.
Yeah, because they're kind of leaning that way a little bit. And, oh, God, please put the brakes on that.
As fun as it can be for some of us who like to see Shane blow up running down to the ring before the match even starts, I don't think anybody wants to see any kind of a title around his waist. And having Bischoff say, yeah, no, is, you know, okay, so there's one good thing. I'm just afraid that he turns it into WWE Thunder. And during its, let's face it, during the height of the wars, Monday Nitro was good. Thunder sucked. And, when Raw started coming on strong, they created SmackDown to compete with Thunder, which forced Thunder to move to Wednesday from Thursday.
Yeah. Bischoff just had a thing where they explained that Thunder was supposed to be the spinoff show for the NWO because they were growing it so big.
Yep.
And the plan just never came through. They never really got the support they needed to actually make that happen.
Somewhat fizzled out. But here's the one thing that has to be brought up. It has to be brought up. WCW's decline began with the meddling from Time Warner.
Yeah, like you can't pin the whole thing on Eric Bischoff. There's a dozen factors at least that led to that downfall. I mean, business transactions aside, AOL, Time Warner screwed up a lot.
Yep. Big time. One of the things, let's acknowledge the fact that Bischoff initiated the edgier products. That was, basically, you know, the kibosh was put on there by Time Warner after it got taken over and Turner got rid of the network, TNT and TBS. And they're like, oh, we need more family friendly stuff. So the stuff that we're seeing in WWE today would have worked perfectly for them as far as that goes, I think. But,
a little ironic.
Yeah, that should tell you something right there. Are we going to get an edgier show now? Is he going to bring that back?
I don't think so. I'm not sure how edgy the show should be or how edgy it can be, because you still have a board of directors. You still have sponsors. You still have everything that wants everything to go as family friendly as possible. I will tell you, as someone who makes money off of YouTube, family friendly is kind of what everyone is trying to accomplish these days.
Okay. And I was just going to interrupt you really quickly. You say family friendly is why everybody is aiming for it. Now, as a YouTuber, you tell us why.
They're aiming for it because advertisers don't want to get stuck with products that are putting out things that go contrary to their own beliefs or contrary to them, things that would make them look bad in the public eye for supporting. Mm-hmm. So everyone's trying to go family friendly because that's all they want. They don't want to take any kind of risk anymore.
A product that supports a TV show that takes a risk is a product I will spend money on. But that's just me.
Well, that's just you, and that depends on finding a sponsor that actually is willing to let them take a risk.
Things are way different today than they were in 1999.
Well, yeah, Yeah,
can't get away from that.
Yeah. But I will tell you, sponsors these days are really eager and really quick to punish those who aren't in there. We're trying to stay family friendly.
Yep.
You got that right.
Unless it's, you know, late night TV. See, the thing about SmackDown and Raw, they're right smack dab in the middle of family hour. A kinder, gentler television broadcasting time. So, I don't know. Is there anything else we want to talk about this?
The only thing, like, I don't think edgier is what the word we're going for. In interviews, Bischoff has stated that the problem with the brand split is one of the shows needed to be grittier. I would expect SmackDown to be the grittier show, especially going to Fox. Like, I feel that would be a better brand fit.
So, I don't know. I see everything leading up to a full-blown, I don't know what to call it, takeover? Let's just say that for the lack of better terms. Takeover, invasion, seizure by SummerSlam.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a gradual thing, is that they are officially on the job, but those changes are going to be slow, so it's not as noticeable as like, oh, everything feels ECW all of a sudden. It's not going to be that way.
Mm-hmm. It won't happen. But no. Mike, any closing thoughts before we move on to the next topic?
Honestly, I just want to see what they'll do. Because Eric Bischoff, he did a breakfast. It was a StarCast like breakfast type lunch thing, and he literally asked the fans, you know, what do you want to see happen in like, you know, in WWE and what have you? And then people aired their grievances, you know, what was going on with WWE. And my thing is, let's see if Eric Bischoff actually listens to the people. So hats off to you two gentlemen. Let's see how this goes.
I just don't want to see, I don't want to see another edition of Thunder or, TNA Wrestling, Bischoff era. That's the only thing I've got to say about the whole thing. I'm excited for Heyman, but, you, call me a mark if you want, or a smark, or what, you know, what the hell ever. I don't give a damn. Heyman's good. The only thing he can't do is balance a checkbook. Other than that, yeah, give me any kind of wrestling show booked by Heyman any day of the week over anything out there. I think that's my final thoughts on it, Omega.
Yeah, this is exciting. Like, this is exactly what both of these shows needed, is a huge shakeup. This is a pretty massive shakeup, and you're giving it to two people that have a proven success rate. We know Heyman can do it. Bischoff is a little bit of a wild card here because he's had good times and bad times, but you know what? I'm willing to take the route of couldn't get much worse. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what happens. But speaking about seeing what happens, let's see. Monday Night Raw was the rematch, was it not? Between Drew McIntyre teaming up with Shane to take on, basically Aquaman.
New
I can't
Aquaman.
Help it. I watched the movie the other day, and I'm like, that's who he reminds me of. Yes, we're talking Roman Reigns.
Well, Roman Reigns as the new Aquaman, who is WWE's new version of the guy who could have been old Aquaman.
I'm trying to follow that train of thought, but okay.
Cena.
There you go. See, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, except he can breathe underwater. Ba-dum-bum. So, yeah, we got this two-on-one match, and, of course, it winds up being no holds barred, blah, blah, blah. And it's just a beatdown of Roman Reigns because he won at the pay-per-view the night before. The lights go out. The lights come on. There's Undertaker in the middle of the ring. The dead man is back. And it's been announced for the next pay-per-view that Roman Reigns and Undertaker are teaming up to take on Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon. How do you feel about that, Mike?
Nah. Why is this a thing?
Just what are you telling me that you can do without the Undertaker?
I can. Yeah, I can. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you know, even today, his ring entrance is almost worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, that's because Goldberg concussed himself shitless before the match.
Yeah, that was Goldberg, not Undertaker, and it wasn't before the match. He used to bang his head into the locker room all the time in WCW. It's he screwed up and hit his head straight on against the corner ring post when he was trying to run head first into Taker, who moved out of the way. And ooh, it's a ring post, bing! That's where the concussion actually happened. Which was, what, 30 seconds into the match. So it might as well have been while he was in the locker room. And so you can't blame Undertaker for that match. Even Goldberg on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram took the entire heat for how bad that match was. So, you know, kudos to Goldberg for that. And yeah, I don't know. Omega, WWE is coming to your town, in Florida, and they're advertising the Undertaker, showing up for a match. Is that going to make you buy a ticket?
Me and about the other 200 people in this area that actually go to those events.
Well, that's it. Now, why are you buying, why is Undertaker appearing going to make you buy a ticket?
Well, at this stage, it's because I don't know how many more chances I would get to see the Undertaker.
Yep.
Period. I'm not going because I expect a 5-star instant classic that makes Dave Meltzer jizz in his pants. I'm going because I may never get the opportunity again.
Yep.
That said, like, I'll tell you why we're getting this. Taker has a list of people that he still wants to work with, probably to get the Goldberg taste out of his mouth. And Drew McIntyre was one of the people he said he gave to WWE before the Goldberg match even happened.
Yep.
So this is Taker handpicking the people he's going to be up against here in the next year.
Now, that is one hell of a big honor. I've been pretty high on Drew McIntyre since he's come back, and I see him as the main, you know, like the number two guy right behind Roman Reigns in the company. And I can see them being 1A, 1B in a very short time. But, you know, any match that you're booked into when you're facing Undertaker is a rub. Any match that Undertaker handpicks you.
Yeah.
That's like that's a whole other level.
Yeah, just to be on that list immediately gives Drew a lot more clout than he had before.
Oh, it just rockets his cred right through the roof. Yeah.
God, he needs it too. Like, I'm tired of him being Shane's crony. I'm sick of this. Just, he's the Scottish psychopath who rarely wins. I would need, you're like, he could be like the number one bad guy in the company. And they just kind of pigeonholed him into this henchman role or just palling around with other random heels for no other reason other than, hey, it's something to do. Like, if you will know when Heyman is in charge of Raw, when Drew McIntyre is through the roof.
Yep.
When he's used properly, you know Heyman's got the pen.
Yeah, and, you know, going right back to Heyman again, you know Heyman knows how to use talent. He plays to everybody's strength. It doesn't matter how mediocre the guys might be talent-wise. He knows how to bring out the best and play to their strength. But as far as that goes, I said it to you, Mike. The Undertaker entrance is practically worth the price of admission alone. I get another chance to see a live ring entrance by Mean Mark Callis. This is the Undertaker.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Well, now
Calloway. Then I'm paying the money. I'm going. Right.
Yeah, because now he's changing his attires and stuff. So yeah, I'm liking it. Yikes. I would say that's probably the only thing. That's probably the only thing that people are looking forward to. That would be the Undertaker's entrance.
So, as far as that goes, he's looking a lot better in the ring than he did a few years back when he first jobbed out to Brock, and then we're all figuring, well, that's it. That's a swan song. And then he comes back and he wins against, what was his name? Bray. And then, he's going to do more. And then he comes back and he jobs to Roman. And we're positive that's it. He's going to announce his retirement anytime. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this goes.
So yeah, I'm not too upset about it. I'll make it. Did you notice that his work in the ring has gotten better after taking that extended little bit of time off before coming back after giving the pinfall victory to Roman Reigns?
I'm not totally sure on that. I need to see more.
So I don't know.
He's going to be used sparingly. I can see him doing a few more matches. It's not like we're going to be inundated with Undertaker and it's going to ruin his legacy. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
As time goes on, I see the guys that he's working with protect him more and more.
Well, I feel like having a list for what may presumably be one last run in this Terry Funk level of one last runs.
Yeah.
Might be, it might be to kind of defend his legacy a little bit because, okay, WrestleMania, you're wrestling Shane. Okay. All right. Okay. And now here in Saudi Arabia, you're wrestling, Goldberg in the shitstorm of a match.
In the shitstorm of the country. Oops. I didn't say that out loud.
Ooh. Apologies to our Saudi and Arabian listeners who just got internet 2 weeks ago.
That's called being a heel. Okay, so don't take it seriously. I was just healing up. Yeah, so we'll see what happens and see how that goes. So, but two topics down. We got this is not going to be a very long webcast because we don't have a shitload to talk about this week, guys. Plus, it's the Canadian long weekend right before your American Independence Day thing going on. Backlash. And I'm not talking about the pay-per-view. I'm talking about Kenny Omega on Twitter.
What did Kenny Boy do?
Apparently, he was griping about Evolve and AEW both airing events on the same night on two different streams.
Yeah.
Mike, you know about this.
Let me pull it up. Kenny Omega did a tweet about Evolve, and I kind of... thank you. All right, let me see if I can pull it up. But yeah, he did a tweet because he was really upset. He said, "If lining your pockets with blood money is okay, then what's wrong with trying to undermine a charity show for victims of gun violence?"
Mm-hmm.
That was a shot.
Yes, it was.
But, oh boy. But yet, Kenny Omega deleted the tweet. And then he said this: "I said my piece and it opened the door to a very toxic environment. It wasn't a message to fans or the boys, just all the decision makers. I wish everyone wrestling on any show that day all the best. That is all."
Yes. Yeah. So, Omega, just hearing about that, what kind of thoughts does that generate for you?
I mean, I see where he's coming from. WWE's never done anything like this before. Like, no. I know they've got a partnership with Evolve, but they've never run another company's event on the WWE network.
Yep.
Like, they've never had this kind of partnership before. And we've had it teased in the past. You know, we've had, the surveys have been sent out and that we've heard rumblings of WWE possibly working with other promotions for the network. But to do it now, to do it specifically for this event on this very, on a very specific day, that is an entirely intentional play. And to do it against a charity event is kind of dirty. Like, I understand they might just see this as a way of temporarily undermining AEW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to do a little bit of damage to what could be an upcoming threat.
That was going to be my question. Is this a case of them seeing AEW as a potential threat?
It's hard to say potential threat, but when they have so much, when they have so much attention for, in the professional wrestling world right now, And WWE, meanwhile, is struggling to even fill an arena halfway these days.
Yep.
That's a problem. It, you know, it means you aren't the cool kid on the block anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're losing attention. You know, that's why Heyman and Bischoff have the book, because they're trying to get the attention back. They're trying to do something because attendance and ratings are tanking. And meanwhile, they've got this young fed, you know, nipping at their heels a little bit and starting to get a foothold with the fans, which that's the last thing they need right now on top of everything else.
Yeah. When you're feeling threatened, you do have a tendency to look at the low play. And in my opinion, that's what this is, Mike.
Got 100% agree with you.
Yeah. So, hey, Mike, who do you wrestle at? What's your wrestling name?
Ren Blackheart, the one-man army.
Ren Blackheart? Where the hell did you get that?
We don't ask questions.
I just did.
You can thank Jimmy Dream.
Who's Jimmy Dream?
James Ellsworth.
Who's James Ellsworth?
Exactly.
Thanks for playing. So if you say Ren Blackheart backwards, Trakelb. Ner.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know.
I'm trying to say Ren Blackheart backwards. What? You don't like how I go off topic like this and talk about other things?
It's natural.
It's not like I'm defending anything here.
That's true.
I mean, my name's not Seth Rollins.
Yikes.
There you go. That is a very awkward segue.
Yikes. Awkward is.
Seth Rollins, WWE's public defender on social media. Have you been following this? Did you guys catch this past week?
Osprey.
People taking shots at WWE. People taking shots at the last pay-per-view. What was it called?
Stomping Grounds.
Oh, I was thinking Trainwreck.
Oh,
that might have been a better name. But yeah, people just taking shots. And Seth, it's not that he took it personally. And a lot of people would be thinking, well, you know, maybe you should have been a little more politic and not gotten involved with this. But as somebody who's, you know, worked like booked the business and written the business, talking to somebody who's a watcher and an inside smart mark of the business, and talking to somebody who's actually between the ropes in the squared circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with Seth Rollins coming to the defense of the company that he's working for, standing up for his fellow wrestlers.
Hmm.
And it may not have been all that PC, but when people take shots that are overboard, and here it is, it's not the casual fans attacking WWE. It's the diehards who want WWE to be what it, you know, something different. Why are you watching WWE when you know what it's going to be like, but you want it to be something different? That's like the stereotype joke. Women marrying a guy thinking she can change him. But the guy will never be changed. And the fact of the matter is, you're never going to change a man. Doesn't matter. Okay? Don't go shopping for something you want to be different.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I'm good with Seth stepping up and, you know, letting you know what's what. And the thing was, he did not say anything really about creative, the direction, the writing. The majority of the people were attacking, WWE as a whole, not specifying that the writing could be better. There's nothing wrong with critiquing something, but when you're harshly critical on something that is not what you're trying to make it,
yeah,
and never will be something you want it to be. That's a waste of keyboard warrior typing.
Omega.
I mean, honestly, if you're that unhappy with the WWE product, just go away until it gets better.
Those of us who do not mind watching it don't need you.
Like, in one way, like, I understand, like, in some ways that those are the most passionate fans because they know how good the product could be.
Yeah.
And they're just upset that it is not up to that expectation.
Yeah.
You know, I get that.
I do. I understand that.
But also, right now you're doing your best impersonation of the beaten woman on Cops.
Like, AEW
is currently the cop trying to take the deadbeat husband away, and you're still, even with black eye and bloody lip, screaming, "No, I still love him. Don't take him away."
No.
I mean, you have options. Go watch New Japan. If you're a wrestling fan, go watch New Japan. They put on phenomenal shows.
They do put on phenomenal shows, but here's the thing that some people just can't absorb. New Japan? Ain't for everybody.
It's not for everybody, but neither is WWE. And obviously, if you're that upset with what WWE is doing right now, maybe WWE isn't for you.
But, I dropped something. I had to pick it up. You say, you know, neither is WWE. And I was wanting to say that, and that is my point.
Yeah.
Right? We have been critical of creative with WWE. We have been critical of writing with WWE. We have been critical of booking with WWE.
I mean, earlier this event, I have described them as a room full of shitting monkeys.
Exactly. But that's creative, not the talent. Here's the thing. When people bitch about WWE, they may not intend to. But by default, they're including the wrestlers.
They are.
And when you attack somebody who puts his health and safety on the line for your entertainment night in and night out.
That should tell you something.
Right? You understand what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. 99% of that locker room is absolutely incredible. And if you're so sick of WWE, you go right out and do what they're doing. Let's see how long you last. Mm. All right. Seth and Becky and Natty and Charlotte and, just name almost anybody. They give it their all night, every night. Sometimes more, you know, like twice a day. In some cases, they put on two shows. We've gone over this about wrestling ain't real, brother. But don't ever call it fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's predetermined. And in some cases, when it's overregulated, like WWE is overregulated, I'll be the first one to admit to that or agree with it. The wrestlers are told, listen, you got to get this move, that move, that move, that move, that move. Make sure that those moves. Because we have to highlight this type of idea for this particular match or this particular night or this particular week or whatever, because it's going somewhere eventually. Mm-hmm. Most of the wrestlers nowadays will practice ahead of time. A lot of them still do it old school. They sit in the locker room or in some cases in the middle of the day where they can be photographed by the little people announce team. They'll sit down, they'll talk about what they're going to do with the match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, an allusion to John Cena and Bray Wyatt getting caught on camera a few years back. We all remember that, don't we?
Yikes.
So, yeah, you know, they're going through the match, and a lot of them are capable of talking about what they're going to do in a way that both combatants in the ring are able to visualize exactly step for step, move for move. Some of them go through the match at half speed, step for step, move for move. Am I wrong, Mike?
No, you're not wrong.
And the reason they do that is so that they know where to step, when to step, how to step, and when to get the hell out of the way. Unfortunately, accidents happen. And once in a blue moon, there's a miscommunication or something breaks down. It happens. Doesn't mean that the wrestler sucks. So, Seth coming to the defense of the WWE after the WWE's been shit on by all these people, saying, hey, look, you know, I work for this company. I love this company. I love what I do. I love my job. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. And that is something that we've said. If you don't like what they're doing, don't watch. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. Why do you keep coming back week after week after week after week only to bitch about what you're watching? I like Scrubs, but I don't expect it to be like Friends, and I don't demand that it becomes more like Friends.
And we were willing to walk out during the final season.
The final season was good. Season 8 was awesome. Season 8 was the final season of Scrubs. Season 9? That wasn't Scrubs. To this day, I won't watch season 9. Anyway. But I don't know if we're beating a dead horse to life or what here. But as far as that goes, yeah, he got some backlash. His whole attitude was Dilly Gaff. Now, for those of you who don't know, Dilly Gaff is an acronym, stands for, do I look like I give a fuck? So if somebody starts ratting at you, ragging on you about something they're not happy about, and it's water off a duck's back, just look at them and say Dilly Gaff.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what else to say about this one, guys.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done with that. Now something happened the other night at a wrestling event. Was that last night? Rock, are you here? He must be throwing water balloons at his nephew.
Oh God.
He was doing that earlier today.
Get out of Fortnite and answer.
There you go. Anyway, yeah, I'm pretty sure it happened last night. AEW had a show.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
There was an incident involving Cody Rhodes.
Oh, man.
Somebody took an unprotected chair shot to the head.
Hair shot?
I corrected myself. I said chair.
Hair shot to the ched.
Yeah, well, I could take a hair shot because I'm not going there. Anyway. Because
you have none.
Shut up.
There he is.
I'll go back to muting. I'll make snark comments.
Well, before you mute, just fill everybody in on the exact happening of the incident.
Okay.
With the chair shot.
So what happened last night? Shawn Spears, formerly Ty Dillinger of WWE, I ran in on the Cody Rhodes match after it was over, and delivered a chair shot right to the side of the Cody Rhodes' head. Leaving him, well, with 12 staples in the head. Not the greatest move in 2019, I don't think.
It wasn't the greatest move in 2012 when Mindstorm boycotted TNA over a chair shot to the head, unprotected. Now, here's the thing. It was obvious that a hand block was missed, and that's Cody's fault. But was the chair swung too soon? In which case, it's Ty Dillinger's fault. This goes back to what I was talking about previously when we were talking about Seth Rollins defending WWE. Sometimes things happen. That being said, Omega.
Like, the mistake doesn't lie there. The mistake's in booking the spot in the first place when chair shots to the head are frowned upon pretty much everywhere.
In general. Number two, yeah. That it was a pre-planned spot for days leading up to the event. Mm-hmm. And what's also bad is when you have Tony Khan come out and trying to defend, the spot didn't go correctly.
It doesn't matter if the spot went correctly or not. And Omega, thank you for being in my head again on that. chair shots to the head, whether they're Corey, you know, that like this is what the plan is and this is how it's supposed to go. Don't do that. Just don't. I related to Rock last night when he told me about it. An incident between Kamikaze and Johnny at Canadian All Pro Wrestling Show. Johnny took a chair to the side of the head. It was a plastic folding chair, but it broke and it cut Johnny for 6 stitches. And I was like, yeah, Kamikaze, you can't do that. I mean, the things are so much different than they were in the 90s. Nobody thought about it in the 90s.
No. Oh, you got concussed out there? We'll shake it off. You got a match tomorrow night.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's the biggest one you can think of right now? Omega? Headshot.
The Rock and Mankind.
Okay. Mike?
Eddie Guerrero and JBL.
Okay. Goldberg and Bret Hart. It wasn't a chair shot. It was a kick to the head. Goldberg was positioned too close. Bret got sick from it because you get a concussion, you're going to get sick. You get tired. You have a permanent, like a constant headache. I'm just relating to you as somebody who has suffered concussions, what it does to you physically, never mind what it does to the brain. In addition to what it does to the brain, Goldberg essentially helped end Bret's career. And, Bret has on occasion said that Goldberg ended Bret's career, but, I'm disagreeing with that because Bret continued to wrestle after that, before the doctors said to him, you can't wrestle. You've got a concussion. So yeah, Goldberg helped end Bret's career. Shot to the head. With everything that has happened and, the wrestler who shall not be named from WWE, who, after autopsy, doctor said that he had the brain of an 83-year-old, patient with dementia. We all know who I'm talking about, right, Mike?
Yeah.
What was one of his signature moves?
Flying headbutt.
The diving or the flying headbutt. Exactly, Omega. Just for the two or three people listening either live or, on the archives, in case you didn't know, I'm referencing Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Do
we know anyone else who's known for a flying headbutt that's dealt with concussion issues, maybe a bit more recently?
Daniel! Was that too obvious?
Well, I asked you for an answer and you just sneezed a name. But
no. I sneezed Daniel. Daniel Bryan has done it.
Mm-hmm.
You got another name?
No, that's the one I was thinking of.
There you go. See, I can read your mind like you read mine. Mike, you got any other names?
I've done the American Dragon, Brian Danielson.
Yes.
That's a technicality, but
I'm sorry, the judges have rejected your answer.
Oh. So we're talking about people who've done the headbutts?
Recently, post-Chris Benoit.
Besides Daniel Bryan.
Lars fucking Sullivan.
There you go.
Yeah, who cares if he gets a concussion?
Yeah.
White supremacists, I don't know.
Like, I don't mean to wish the guy injury. Of course, I don't want to wish him injury. I just don't want to see him wrestle.
No. Nobody, you know, like we say shit sometimes, but, sometimes it's just the heat of the moment stuff and other times it's just, you know, we're being jackasses. We don't want anybody to get hurt. But anyway, again, to the head injury thing, the biggest deal was Benoit. Daniel Bryan lost over 2 years of his career because of concussion. Why? Head trauma. That's why. Whether self-inflicted or planned out where somebody's going to hit you in the head with something, that something they hit you in the head with should better not be anything stiffer than a baguette or a pillow. Actually, a baguette's stiffer than a pillow. You feel a pillow more because it weighs more.
but still, same outcome. They could have planned out a way different spot that would have been just as effective. Headshots, just no.
Yeah. Like, it felt like, it feels like the kind of spot where they're trying to prove that they can be edgy and they can do things that WWE's too scared to do.
Yeah. It's,
you know, and
it's
I will fully admit, I'm sick of chair shots to the back too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they all, now the chair shot just seems forced and unnatural. Maybe it's just time we adopt a new standard weapon for pro wrestling.
Well, they used like an Atari type video game system earlier in the night, so maybe you go with that.
They used the GameCube controller.
Now, let me ask you this, okay? We ragged against the chair shot to the head. What about the kendo stick? Because those are still used. People still get whacked over the head with a kendo stick. Why are we not making such a big fuss about that?
Because they bend.
No, because they don't no longer do it to the head. They should stop to anything to the head. Go to the shoulder blades. Go to the back.
You can smack somebody with a kendo stick between the neck and the shoulder, and it because it's so small, skinny, and it's very quick. On initial blush, it could look like it's a kendo shot to the head, even though it's not.
Right.
The other thing about it, depending on the person's height and where the opponent is, if he's like down on his knees trying to get up, you can actually take that kendo stick, whack it over the guy's head, and smack him in the back with it because of the whip effect, because it does bend, and it'll make that big, satisfying cracking noise that a kendo stick makes, but it still doesn't touch the guy's head, even though it looks like it did, and you're just smacking him in the back. Stuff like that, fine. They sting. Kendo sticks, as a rule, aren't capable of being swung with enough force to give you major head trauma. A concussion would be major head trauma. It's going to hurt. You're going to feel it. It'll sting. It might even leave a welt or a 10. But I don't know. They're just bookers. When you write a show and you've got a spot where somebody takes a chair shot, do it to the shoulder. Don't do it to the head.
All right.
Better yet, like Omega says, find something else and do something else.
One final comment on this, and I'm going to read you the quote.
Yep.
You could build the safest airplane in the world, but if there's pilot error, there's pilot error. He also said he will address it soon, says Tony Khan.
Okay, I've got a rebuttal to that. You can build the safest airplane in the world, but you're still playing with danger if you nosedive from 30,000 feet and turn off the engine.
And to further this, the Young Bucks basically said the chair shot was not unprotected, and it says it was Cody's idea to take it. The chair was gimmicked, but that didn't work.
Again, diving without a diving with the parachute, not pulling.
Make all the excuses you want. It's like saying, well, we can land that airplane, but, you know, who really needs the landing gear? Like we've landed plenty of times without landing gear, and no one got hurt. What's the harm in doing it this time?
Heat shield around the spaceship, but why?
Yeah.
But I think that's a good stopping point for the night.
That is, yeah. Guys, we promised you a short webcast. We're pretty much done for the night. Rock, what are you doing tomorrow?
The Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Hey, what are you doing Tuesday?
Something I'm not going to say on air.
Okay. Well, you know, you're not supposed to do that because you might go blind. Go ahead and ask me what I'm doing Tuesday.
No.
Ask me what I'm doing on Tuesday.
No.
Why?
I don't care.
Hey, Mike, ask me what I'm doing Tuesday.
I'm scared.
Just do it.
What are you doing on Tuesday?
Coaching my son's hockey team. Ha ha.
Wow, that directly affects the... Anyway, what's next, Tim?
Well, that directly, that's concussion related. What's next? When do you play Fortnite?
We play that Thursdays and Saturdays at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
There you go. But don't forget, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock Radio Show with your host, the multi-time, multi-award-winning Lindsay Ward. Except, no live show this Thursday.
Wow, he actually knows this.
Yeah, because, you know, let's see, Monday's first, Tuesday's the second, Wednesday's the third. Thursday is the Independence Day.
Has nothing
That's
to do
right.
with
That's right, July 4th. It's fireworks and beer night.
Has nothing to do with that. Anyway, we're not live this Thursday night. We're not live next Thursday night, but there will be a podcast next week to preview Extreme Rules. So the React returns live in 2 weeks, but you can check out our 7-year show available now at rockradioshow.com.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as we can get to it, another edition of The Wild, The Wacky, The Unusual. They're all a bunch of chicks with... It's CB Radio.
What?
What?
Okay.
I stopped myself
you
before
did.
I said it.
You did.
We just had a discussion about how some things need to be stopped before they are executed.
And I stopped it. See? I'm learning.
You put your arms up. That doesn't make
sense. I censored myself.
You did censor yourself. Check out CB Radio, Saturday night's midnight-ish. I can tell you this. We're doing great debate on Impact TNA wrestlers this Saturday night, midnight-ish. There will be a special edition of CB Radio Not So Live available this week talking AEW.
Oh, shit. You know what you should do for a greater than great debate? The all-time greater than great debate, greatest debates. Have you done 128 yet?
Hey, Tim, that's been the plan for about a year. Thank you. Anyway, CBRadioLive.com.
Thanks for playing.
CBRadioLive.com, greater than greatdebate.com.
There you go. Yeah, of course, next Sunday night, do we have a pay-per-view to preview?
Extreme Rules.
See, I remember that much. Extremely tame rules. That's my prediction for Extreme Rules. But, yeah, going to play Pick 'em and Preview Extreme Rules next Sunday night right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network on a little program called WTR Sunday Night. So get ready to play. That being said, everybody, have yourselves a great week. Follow me on the Twitter, not once, but twice, because I'm so nice. At Flames Forms for the non-political stuff. And then for my alt-right anti-Trump derangement syndrome, teasing. I get political on at Voicing Sanity. My informal handle is called Politically Incorrect, and I'll take anybody and anybody to task for stupid stuff. That's the Twitter you want to really get into if you're into stuff like that. That's me, though. Happy birthday to my father, who is 93 years old today. And he pisses me off because everybody thinks he's 70. Just the way it looks. That being said, Omega, you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. So, if you want to catch what I do, generally it's all found under one name. Unless you want to follow me over on Facebook, there you'll have to look up TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with way too much content for my own good. And then for a little bit of stuff that YouTube doesn't want you to see, it's over at tjomega.net.
There you go. And Mike is deranged.
Yeah, I guess. You can add me on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo. Hit me there. You can hit me up on the Twitch, Stu Heyman. I do shows every Thursday for WWGK19. You can hit up a Facebook page, Dragon Honor Wrestling. Word of advice, don't piss off Ruckus. Back to you guys.
There you go. Yeah, Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night, WTR Sunday Night on the Twitter as well. Are we done plugging?
Yeah, this
I think
is big.
We're done plugging.
Oh, hold on. Use credit code RocketSocket49 at twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe. It's Prime Week coming up. If you have an Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. Use it to subscribe for free and support the network. Yeah, yeet.
holy Christ, can you just lay off the speed and quit talking so fast?
He rehearses that.
No, I don't. I just say it over and over again.
Oh,
that's
my
called
God.
It's rehearsing.
It's like listening to one of those speed reading, speed talking guys at the end of a legal commercial. He talks like 250 words a minute. Anyway.
That's a computer speeding it up. Go watch a Micro Machines commercial. You hear it for real.
There you go. Yeah. All right, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Happy Canada Day, Canadians. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. Americans coming up on Thursday. Guys, everybody, have yourselves a great time. We'll talk to you again next week right here, Russell Talk Radio. Yeah.
WildTalkRadio.com.